This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's coming up on 9 minutes after six. Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Hawkeye Steel at Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
Crop insurance continues to be a valuable tool for farmers. Jasper County farmer Bill Michael remembers why he decided to purchase crop insurance coverage for his operation.
In 1983, we had a drought. Our corn averaged 15 bushels to acre. Soybeans averaged 20 bushels to acre. That's what opened my eyes to crop insurance. Ever since then, I've had crop insurance every year.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand the value you place on working with a crop insurance provider that understands today's crop insurance options.
Farm Credit, the crop insurance agents have been very helpful. They're very knowledgeable in the different programs, different policies available. They're just a phone call away. If I have a question, I just make a call and the answer is there.
Call Farm Credit today at 800-444-FARM to discover more about a crop insurance plan to fit your farming operation.
Farm Credit has been a big help insurance-wise. They've been a very big help.
At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, we understand.
At Smokey Jennings Chevrolet, the 2012s are driving off the lot. With over 40 new Chevrolets sold in September, the selection is getting thin. Take the 2012 Corvette Grand Sport, stock number C385, or the 2012 four-wheel drive extended cab Silverado, stock number C343. Get the one you want at a great Smokey Jennings discount. Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, where they're not just about trucks, they're about community since 1946.
First of all, on the Farm Show on this Thursday morning, an electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade. December wheat now trading at 875 up 2. March wheat trading at 885 and a half up 1.5. December corn now trading at 761 and a quarter up 4.5. March corn trading at 761 and 3/4 up 4.25. November soybeans trading at 1544 up 12.25. January beans trading at 1543 1/4 up 11. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, December wheat ended at 873 up 1.5. March wheat ended at 884 up a penny. May wheat ended at 884.5 unchanged. December corn yesterday ended at 756 3/4 down 1.5. March corn ended at 757.5, down 2.25, and May corn ended at 753, down 2. November soybeans yesterday, 1531 3/4, up 1.5. January beans ended at 1532 1/4, down a penny, and March beans ended at 1501.5, down 1/4. October soybean meal yesterday ended at 465.50, up 21. December meal ended at 464.40 up 15. January meal ended at 461.10 up 4. October soybean oil yesterday ended at 50.33 up 6. January oil ended at 50.73 up 4. And January oil ended at 51.07 up 2. December oats yesterday ended at 363 1/4 up 3. March oats ended at 368 up 2. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the USN, the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois Kinder Grain prices ended mixed on Tuesday afternoon, with corn slightly higher and wheat and soybeans lower. Technical and fund selling at the Port of Trade weighed on wheat and soybean values. In northern and western Illinois, Kinder Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mixed at $7.25 to $7.42, while soybean bids were 25 to 33 cents lower at $14.87 to $15.11. In central Illinois, Kinder Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mixed at $7.48 to $7.68, while soybean bids were 28 to 32 cents lower at $15.10 to $15.26. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids ended mixed at 740 to 773. Soybean bids were mostly 28 to 33 cents lower at $15 to 1527. And wheat prices down 10 to 15 cents at 837 to 860. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were down 30 cents, ranging from 1530 to 1545. Basis ended steady at option to 15 over November. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis dropped $9.20 to $11.70 per ton, ranging from $4.70.90 to $4.78.40. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 2 cents stronger tonight at 768 to 783, with basis ending steady at 10 to 25 over December. Dried distiller grains steady to $5 per ton lower at 265 to 290 per ton. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids mixed at 727 to 735, with basis ending mixed at 31 to 23 under December. Soybean bids ended 36 to 40 cents lower on Tuesday, ranging from 1504 to 1510, with basis down 6 to 10 cents at 26 to 20 under November. Wheat bids for July 13 delivery ended mixed on Tuesday at 815 to 819, with basis ending steady to 6 cents higher at 34 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place our producer corn bids 2 to 5 cents stronger at 719 to 746. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 29 to 30 cents, with quotations at 1523 to 1540. Soft red winter wheat down 19 cents at 830 to 831, while the Milo ended 3 cents higher at 708 to 709. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. January delivered corn at 738 to 754. January soybeans ranging from 1513 to 1519. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 754 to 777, with January soybean bids at 1525 to 1540. And in the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 746 up to 787, January soybean bids at 1518 to 1548, and wheat bids for July 13 delivery in southern Illinois. Those range from 799 up to 723. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, October hogs ended at 80.02, up 87. December hogs ended at 75.87, down 97. February hogs ended at 81.75, down a dollar and a quarter. October cattle yesterday ended at 123.07, down 20. December cattle ended at 126.02, down 35. February cattle ended at 129.95, up 2. October feeder cattle yesterday, 145.30, down 7. November feeders ended at 146.80, up 30. January feeders ended at 149.57, up 42. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report. Well, so much for that. We'll move on to the spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday. For butter, $1.95 unchanged. For block cheese, $2.10 up $1.50. For barrel cheese, $2.05 up $1.50. And the spot price for Class 3 milk ending on Wednesday, $21.17. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for October, $7.19. For November, $7.46. Corn delivered to Scottville for October, $7.19. And for November, $7.46. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for October, $15.16. For November, $15.46. And wheat delivered to Scottville for October, $8.20. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices, corn at Greenfield, $7.19. Corn at Scottville, $7.19. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $15.16. Wheat at Scottville, $8.20. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Hawkeye Steel at Route 138 and I-55 in White City, by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Now is a good time to get your lawn ready for the winter. FS offers an application for broad leaf control with fertilizer in October for a fall weed and feed to control any fall dandelions, wild violet, and chickweed. To get your lawn ready for winter, they offer a late fall fertilizer spread in November. This application will help store food for your lawn through the winter months and will help give you that early green up in the spring. For a free estimate, call Tim Rothy with Green Yard Professional Lawn Care by FS at 1-800-962-7331. Green Yard Lawn Care by FS is a service of Eminent Service Company.
Partly cloudy skies today. High temperatures in the low 80s. We will have southwest winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight becoming cloudy with the chance of a shower. The low in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, Friday, cloudy and cooler with showers likely. The high in the mid 50s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday. Partly cloudy and cooler. Low temperatures in the mid to the upper 30s. High temperatures in the upper 50s. Right now at the Weather Center, south winds at 8 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is steady. Our temperature, 54 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. First of all, here's the weekly crop condition report. We join Brad Schwab of the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Cool weather across much of the state provided near-ideal conditions for corn and soybean harvest to continue. Temperatures were again below normal last week, averaging 60 degrees, which was 2 degrees below normal. Statewide precipitation for the week averaged a near-normal 78/100 inch. However, average in this instance was not an accurate statistic, considering the northern third of the state received virtually no rainfall, while the southern third received above-normal accumulations in excess of 1.5 inches. Topsoil moisture supplies were reported at 15% very short, 37% short, 44% adequate, and 4% surplus. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was reported at 34% very short, 44% short, 21% adequate, and 1% surplus. There were a total of 5.4 days suitable for field work, while grow and degree day units since May 1 came in at 3,240, or 193 heat units ahead of the historic average. Corn in the mature stage was reported at 98%, compared to 88% 1 year ago and 75% for the 5-year average. Corn harvest now stands at 71%, compared to only 29% last year and 33% for the 5-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in the corn harvest category was the Southwestern, where 93% is now in the bins. Soybeans, dropping leaves, advanced to 85%, compared to 72% 1 year ago and 74% for the 5-year average. 22% of the crop has now been harvested, and this pace compares to 10% a year ago and 21% for the 5-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in the soybean harvest category was the Northeastern, where 48% is now in the bins. Overall, the state's soybean crop was rated in mostly fair condition. In other crops around the state, pasture conditions continue to improve due to cooler temperatures and recent rains. Sorghum harvest is now 27% complete, compared to 20% 1 year ago and 26% for the 5-year average. Fall seeding of the soft red winter wheat crop advanced to 9%, compared to 8% 1 year ago and 10% for the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
On Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. We asked him if possible reductions in livestock numbers will help the grain trade.
Well, that's certainly anticipated, and we're anticipating seeing lower lower cattle on feed numbers as we go into 2013, and that'll reduce feed demand to some degree. The quarterly hogs and pigs report that came out on Friday as well certainly indicated that farrowing intentions were less than expected, but not that significant of a reduction in numbers. So overall, I think we'll probably see less reduction in numbers in the hogs than what we see in the cattle. But overall, yeah, meat supplies are going to be tightening up, and that's going to reduce feed demand to some extent.
I thought that hogs and pigs report you referred to, I thought kind of surprised me with the numbers. They really were not that much lower from a year ago.
Yeah, and that was surprising to me, too. And the reason is throughout part of August and September, we were seeing heavy weights of hogs going to slaughter. And so the general assumption was, well, those are gilts that had been held back to be reproductive part of the expansion of the farm, and now are being sent to market because of high protein costs. But that survey, which is based on September 1, so there could have been some herd thinning after September 1, but that survey suggests that, no, it was just because the hogs were gaining well with the cooler temperatures and converting feed well, and it was just heavier weights of the regular market hogs, and we haven't done much to thin the herd size at all. So from that standpoint, I was surprised as well.
On Wednesday, we talked to GrowMark lobbyist Chuck Spencer, and I asked him about the farm bill and where it stands.
Well, what we are looking forward to is as soon as November 7th rolls around, I think that you're going to see farm groups begin calling very sternly on Congress to take action in the post-election session that is going to occur in November and December. We do know from being out in Washington, D.C. last week that the House staffers have been told that maybe they'll get a week off for Christmas, but not to be planning a lot of out-of-town travel from that period on. And so they're intent on trying to take action, as we know, not only as there the farm bill issues, but there's tax issues as well that are going to be very important to act on by December 31st. So farmers are going to be engaged, and they're going to be ready to see something happen on the farm bill.
And those tax issues you mentioned, they're going to have a direct impact on the farm bill, whatever form it takes, right?
Well, yes, they very much will in this regard. We're talking about budget dollars here, and that's what the grand debate seems to be centering around right now. Now, within the agricultural community, I think that we have our work to do to make sure that all regions of the country can get together here between now and when the election day occurs so they can step on a common platform, go to Congress with a unified message and say, all of agriculture wants these provisions in a farm bill. Let's take the opportunity to pass them. We're very close, Randy, as far as the major provisions between the different sectors and commodities within the country. So that could be done if we choose to do so. We also have time legislatively. Congress can operate on more than one track. And why you mentioned the tax bill and how it influences it, we're going to be talking about the future budget of the country and the deficit. And so striking an agreement on how tax codes could be simplified. Potentially, there could be increases in tax provisions through simplifications and deductions being eliminated. But hopefully, that would simplify the measures, make it better for all kinds of business, including agriculture, and then allow enough budget room to pass a farm bill. So, yeah, that's a whole lot of things to do in a 40-day window.
And it seems to me that one of the things you mentioned before was having all the various farm groups and the various facets of agriculture they represent all come together to present a united bill for consideration.
That is correct. And, in fact, they have been working on it. In this past week, the commodity groups have gotten together along with the farm organizations, and they've issued a letter again, restating their distinct interest in seeing a farm bill pass within this next session of Congress. And, you know, over time, since 1933, four farm bills have passed in the presidential election year. Seven passed the year after the presidential election year. And there have been 16 total farm bills passed in that period from 1933 to today. So there has been a tendency, particularly the last three farm bills that have gone past its traditional expiration date, but Randy, usually with an extension, and usually a focus on agricultural leaders being able to work for a more friendly budget number, we're going into next year looking at a very likely a much lower and different budget number should the farm bill extend much past March.
And that was Chuck Spencer of GrowMark. A number of commodity groups recently held a hog summit in China. And with the report, we'll join Joe Sheely of the United States Meat Export Federation.
Last week, a first-of-its-kind hog summit brought together industry leaders from the world's largest pork producer and importer, China, with the world's largest exporting country, the United States. Topics included the changing structure of the world's hog industries, waste management and sustainability, food safety and disease control, and food security. One of the featured speakers was North Carolina pork producer Henry Moore, owner and operator of Bobcat Farms and a member of the National Pork Board.
One important question that I was asked was why I felt it was important for me to talk to Chinese producers and tell them how we do things, particularly because I was there on behalf of USMEF and, you know, we'd like to export more of our pork to China. And I told her that I thought it was about building trust and relationships with those producers. I think everyone recognizes that China is not quite to the point of sustainability on their food supply. They were going to have to buy pork from somewhere. And hopefully by working with their producers, perhaps there would be a little bit of loyalty there to those producers not being so opposed to pork from the U.S. coming into the country. And so to build that relationship, just like we do here in the U.S. as farmers, we work together. Even though we all sell the similar products and we all raise pigs, we work together quite a bit and share ideas and bounce things off each other that may help someone else improve. And that's kind of what I was thinking about in China and part of my reasoning for feeling like it was fine to share my ideas with them.
Moore said that while the U.S. industry is always looking to grow global market share, it's also important to grow the overall demand for protein.
Expanding the protein pie, that's a good way to put it. Big opportunity there is getting our chilled and fresh product into China, like we do in Japan. A lot of people to feed over there. And I think our opportunity is as that economy grows, so will the consumption of meat. And certainly building trust with those folks is probably the first step into getting more U.S. pork into China.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org.
The agricultural importance of land-grant universities was the focus of a recent discussion featuring four former U.S. Secretaries of Agriculture. Former Secretaries Clayton Yeider, Mike Johanns, Dan Glickman, and John Block talked about the success of the Morrill Act as they looked at the land-grant mission of 2012, transforming agriculture for the 2050 world. To feed the growing world population expected to grow to 9 billion by the year 2050, Secretary Johanns said it will take science, technology, and the best of land-grant universities. Secretary Yeider said we've got to do everything better than we do today. He called on land-grant universities to be bold in their research, extension, and teaching. In an effort to convince Tyson Foods to phase out its use of gestation crates, Humane Society of the United States President and CEO Wayne Pacelle will seek a seat on the company's board of directors. He's doing so with the support of Carl Icahn, who Pacelle notes has re-engineered some of the biggest companies in America. Pacelle admits he has a remote chance of getting elected to the board, but says he can add a valuable perspective to the company if his campaign is successful. Icahn is supporting Pacelle's bid because he believes eliminating gestation crates will prevent cruelty to animals and improve Tyson's business prospects by putting the company on equal competitive footing with the bulk of the industry that is already rejecting gestation crates. The Humane Society of the United States has been pressuring pork producers to eliminate the use of gestation crates. Smithfield Foods, Hormel Foods, and Cargill have started to phase out individual sow housing or have committed to a timetable to do so. While there's been plenty of talk in the media about a bacon shortage, National Pork Board Assistant Vice President of Communications Cindy Cunningham says bacon will not be scarce in the United States. Ms. Cunningham says the amount of pork available per person in America will drop just slightly to 44.6 pounds next year. Today it stands at 46 pounds per person. The price of bacon, however, will be likely higher. The British National Pig Association is the trade group that warned of a world shortage of pork and bacon next year is unavoidable. It is true that some farmers have thinned their herds in response to the increased cost of feeding pigs that has resulted from the summer's droughts. Smithfield Foods says the high grain prices likely will cause many hog farmers to cut production. American Farm Bureau Federation economist John Anderson agrees pork supplies will decrease slightly, but says the idea of widespread shortages is overblown. So consumers won't have trouble finding bacon in the meat case, but they are likely to see higher prices. Finally this morning, Drs. John Herrick and Jim Jarrett were inducted into the Cattle Production Veterinarian Hall of Fame at the 45th Annual American Association of Bovine Practitioners Conference in Montreal at the end of last month. Even MC Dr. Mark Spire says both men have set an admirable example of leadership and dedication to the cattle industry. The Hall of Fame celebrates rich traditions of American cattle production veterinary medicine by honoring men and women who have made extraordinary contributions during their careers. Both men were selected by their peers and members of the AABP and Academy of Veterinary Consultants to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat now trading at 874 and three quarter, up 1 3/4. March wheat trading at 885 and a quarter, up 1 1/4. December corn now trading at 760 and three quarter, up 4. March corn trading at 761, up 3 1/2. November soybeans now trading at 1543 and three quarter, up 12. January beans trading at 1543, up 10 and three quarter. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.